right.
He used to do this conservation.
Okay, I believe it is time. Okay. I will call to order this special meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors on this May 17th, 2012. I would ask the members of the audience to join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I certainly want to take this opportunity to thank all of you that took the time to come this evening. And I certainly would like to introduce at least two of our elected officials that I see in the audience. And we do have several department representatives here as well, but I won't introduce all of them at this time. I think most of the people in the audience will recognize them, but we do have County Attorney Stephen Holmes in present and Treasurer Renee Tweet also in the audience today. And I think we also have a candidate for auditor in the audience as well. So with that, I would like to say that the board, Ted, before we start, the board has eagerly been waiting for this opportunity for the committee to complete its task. We want to thank you for giving this to us last week, so we've had time to read through it and kind of form some questions and so forth. It is my desire this evening that this be an excellent opportunity for exchange and give and take between the committee and us, the board, regarding this report and proposal. And then there will also be an opportunity before we conclude the evening session for comments from the audience, if members of the audience so desire. But I can say beyond a doubt that those of you that have spent the last several months working on behalf of Story County, envisioning the role that you think Story County should follow in the future, hasn't fallen on deaf ears. We take very serious your recommendation, your suggestions, and the hard effort that is placed here. And so we hope that that the entire evening could be one of complete honesty and dialogue and a good positive feeling as we go forth. It is not our intent this evening to form any final decision. After we've heard everything here on the regularly scheduled board agenda, which will be announced shortly, we'll look at the date, then the board will actually take up any recommendations that we may have garnered from what is being presented here tonight. So this is part of just the public opportunity for us to hear from the committee and to be able to ask and answer questions as we so desire. So with that, Ted, as one of the chairs, co-chairs of this committee, thank you, and I'm going to turn it over to you and for the first part of that. Okay?
Thank you, Chairman Clinton and Supervisors Sanders and Toot. We appreciate the opportunity that you gave us, the learning experience that we all went through, and the committee worked very diligently. My co-chair, Sandy Upstreet, is on her way. Then I do have some other members here. We have Sandra McChimsey from Ames, Steve McGill from Nevada, Marty Chitty from Nevada. One of our members, Tom Corrieri, is in Florida taking care of some serious family business. And we think that Patrick Sheets may be still out in the field planting corn.
yeah. So he's got his priorities straight.
We have certainly taken a lot of their precious time and talent as we went through this exercise. First of all, I would just briefly explain that the committee came with no preconceived ideas. As you all know, because you met with us, we talked about that. The report does not single out any individuals or any departments of Story County, and it's a work for a structure that can serve Story County, we think, better in the future because the paradigm continues to change. Every time a city expands, the jurisdiction of the county actually reduces. Not many of us think about that. We think that the evolution that's going to occur for county government is going to extend in new ways, which we'll explain in our recommendations, and we need to be prepared as those changes, some are happening right now, and more are going to happen in the future. We actually are living with the current structure that was made in the 1800s, and we're in the 21st century, and there's not been any basic change to that structure at this time. So, with that, let's move ahead with the recommendations. One of the things in the report we did want to point out to people, and of course they can go on the county website and find this report and print it off at home. I would warn you it's about 60, 70 pages long, except the recommendations of the committee encompass only about 20 pages. The others are agendas, meetings, etc. But these are a number of items that as we worked with the county department heads, the employees, the elected, that we felt really are on the right track and suggest that those be continued. With that, then, our recommendations, and when we sat down to start convening to make our recommendations, we agreed to meet every week. We started in late March and worked straight through, and we started at the top and worked down. So our first recommendation actually is to recommend a change in the charter to what is known as a board manager form of government. All of these options with the charter are found in Chapter 331 of the state code. It offers the opportunity to change a charter form of government. With the board manager form, actually what you have is a board of supervisors, and it has to be 5 members, and then they would be hiring a manager, which would oversee the entire operation of the county. Our recommendations, of course, are the 5 members, and we actually think that they ought to be elected by districts. We do have an unusual situation in Story County, as Ames has 2/3 of the population of the county. 3 of those districts would be wholly in Ames. The other 2 would just graze on the outer edges. We also recommend that those districts in finality, if it so comes to be established by the legislative service agency of the state. The supervisors as such would serve as policy makers, essentially part-time supervisors, with the administration executive duties being transferred, of course, to the county manager. We think that the supervisors then would have more time to be out with the citizens of the county if they so desired. We agree that there are staggered terms, which actually is contained in the code, but we would subject the supervisors to a limit of 3 continuous terms. Also, when serving on other boards and commissions, we recommend that the supervisors be ex officio members of those boards and commissions. With regards to the next step, the other elected offices in the county, we recommend that they be appointed offices, abolish the other elected offices and have those as appointed rather than as elected. With regards to the county manager, the county manager under the board manager form would be appointed or hired by the supervisors and then given, and we think that with that kind of a scenario, you will find highly qualified people that are used to managing governmental agencies. We look for professionalism, education, experience, etc. The manager would report to the Board of Supervisors, would be charged with carrying out the supervisor's policy in the fullest respect. He would appoint, or she would appoint, all department heads and would oversee all of the hiring process and, of course, again, on the county operations. The next item we recommend is that you, in fact, have started a human resources department we recommend that you retain that department and make it even more effective than it is. Now, I'd like to go back and tell you that when we made this decision on board manager, the vote was actually 6-1. We had one member dissent. That was the co-chair, Sandy Upstreet, and she did write a minority report in the report giving her reasons why she thinks that the organization should actually... Oh, speaking of the devil.
Oh, no, that's Sandy.
And she's got a red jacket on. I like your power statement.
Remain the same. Now, there is another option in the code that offers a supervisor's executive form of government for the counties. Tom Corrieri wrote a dissenting opinion on that. Tom's background has been for years in New York State, where this was very prevalent. When you go to that form of government, you have an elected board of supervisors and an elected manager of the county. Essentially, it's called an executive, but he's elected by, he or she is elected by the people. Moving on, we talk about combining elected offices. There have been a couple of counties, and from this point on, these are actually actions that can be taken by you, the supervisors. Before, the board manager and change of the charter actually has to be precipitated by the citizens. Requirement of signatures on a petition, 25% of the last general election for president or governor, and with a maximum of 10,000. At that point, then, those would be brought forward. You would be required to pass a resolution to appoint the Charter Commission. That's all outlined in the code under Chapter 331. There are a couple of counties within the state that have combined some offices, particularly auditor and recorder. We recommend that you take under consideration combining some offices. And one of the recommendations is that maybe it would be fruitful to start with a financial department. And this leads into one of our other recommendations that will be coming up, and I'll refer to that. But as you know, many governmental agencies have a financial department, which includes auditor, treasurer. They get outside audits or supposed to, but actually handled all in one process. We think this is interesting and important because we are starting to lean more and more on electronic signatures as appropriate activity. The next items are actually entitled facilities. The first one is security. This became very, very evident throughout our conversations, not only with department heads, with elected, but particularly with employees. They feel that there is a dramatic change and lack in the security of the buildings, that people can come in unannounced, things can happen. They also are interested in a number of processes that happen with papers, with mail, and things like that. We commend you because you did put $50,000 in the upcoming budget for security issues. We think, however, it might be worthwhile to have a study done to see what should be done in all of the facilities, looking also at what might precipitate the cost to do that, and that there are some ways that you can do financing for those kinds of improvements. And so we think that's a very, very important issue, and very important because of the employees and their possible injury. The other thing that came to us was storage needs, secure storage needs, storage for equipment, storage for vehicles, and storage for other materials that are of value that the county has. One of them, for example, was the possibility that off-site storage of voting machines was important. Storage for the emergency operations vehicle, which is has a lot of equipment, etc. A lot of the vehicles, etc., are stored outside, for example. When we have building projects, sometimes there's advanced receipt of materials are stored outside, and they're, having a secure facility would be important. The next item is communications. We found with our discussions, and this goes beyond just the county operations and the departments. It goes out to such people as township trustees, but citizens, other governmental agencies within the county. So we had a number of recommendations here. One, we thought possibly an electronic newspaper for employees, in-house type of communications, monthly elected official and department head meetings, inclusion of employees' voices to review the employee advisory committee should be reinstated, given new vitality to work with all the employees. Annual strategic planning and goal setting sessions in January, with invitations extended to all the city, school districts, township people, even drainage district people would be included. The creation of a speakers bureau to be available to any community group to know what's going on in the county. Revision of the format of the annual meetings that are held for township trustees to possibly twice a year with training and dialogue during those sessions. They felt they could use some more. Monthly press releases from the board suggested title, What's Happening in the County. Development of a plan to transition files to and records to digital. Also, placement of public information in kiosks at entrances to this building, the Justice Center, and particularly the Human Services Center. Monthly appearances on local radio stations, even columns in newspapers. Continuation of the Board of Supervisors liaison to each community at least once a year, and we would suggest even more. And create an intranet site to enable township clerks, officials, and other jurisdictions to be informed and to be, get some assistance in dissemination of information. Another important one is one-stop permit and licensing. Now, we understand this will take some work because you have to deal with a number of other agencies, including the state of Iowa. But it would be so much handier for the citizens to be able to come to one office and do all their permitting. A good example is the fact that a friend of mine just bought a new boat. So he comes in, he registers the boat in the recorder's office. Then he has to go to the treasurer's office and get a trailer license and had to wait in line. So if they can do everything all in one, they would be very appreciative and think it would be an important role. We think that economic development is certainly going to be something that county government's going to have to be involved in. This is important to all of the citizens of the county and for the economical health of the county. And we think that since you have changed the Planning and Zoning Department to the County Planning and Development Department, that this would be a good place to have that activity, and that when funds do become available, we think it's important that a person be hired on a full-time basis to work, continually work on that. Now, we know there are some other economic entities within the county doing some work, but correlating with all of that would be important. What happens in the other towns is good for the whole county. You know, Nevada's on the edge of getting something great. Story City, any of keeping all of our citizens employed is important. We think that next recommendation is to assistance to other jurisdictions. As we look at it, many of these small communities within the county are going to face major problems. Just a good example would be the city of Gilbert. If they have to build a new wastewater treatment plant, a new drinking water plant, and of course now federal government's looking at treating storm water. Small communities are not going to be able to handle that. We're going to have to get a system where the larger communities, that have those facilities are willing to extend out and share those services. But it will take a coordinated effort, and we think that's very important, or an important role that county government could play in getting that accomplished. The other one that we think is very, very important is that we currently have two assessors in Story County. We have the Story County assessor, and we have the assessor at City of Ames. There are only about seven city assessors left in the state. Even Polk County has combined to one. We think that we would urge that the supervisors start a conversation with the mayor, council, and city manager of Ames to talk about doing a combination. Actually, the action has to be taken by the Ames City Council in rescinding their ordinance, which creates the city assessor. But if you look at the two budgets combined, they're very large. And that, and also it's very confusing because they're using two different computer systems. Now, I know they're trying to meld those together, and it's been very difficult. But it would be much handier for everyone, not only professionals, banking, real estate, et cetera, that use the assessed values a lot, but even individuals who are looking to purchase a residence to look up the value, et cetera, is important. So we think that's a major thing. It won't happen overnight. It will take some work, and we would appreciate the effort that you would put forth there. Soil and water conservation districts. Currently, we have a whole lot of drainage districts within Story County. Drainage districts are rather difficult in some cases to deal with because they do cross county lines. There is an effort within the state, and particularly Boone and Story County have are interested in it, and that's to combine to actually what's termed in here as support the resolution for county and soil districts to be on a watershed basis. Not just the drainage basis, a watershed basis. It'll reduce the number to deal with, but it'll also be a more efficient operation. The other recommendation is transportation safety. We all know that under the current circumstances all over the state, actually all over the nation, we certainly have difficulty with maintenance of roads, the condition of bridges, culverts, etc. We think this is really important that we have a system that provides an interconnected transportation system that is safe. And so we believe that reclassifying some roads is important, but more importantly, we think that a capital improvements program, a strategic plan needs to be made that extends beyond 5 years, needs to look about 10 or 15 years. We understand these plans can be changed with emergency items come up, but there needs to be a plan out there that can work off and look to the future. That basically is our recommendations. We'd be happy. I don't know if there's any comments. Sandy or any of the committee members have comments?
Wayne, did you have a comment?
I can wait until you all have an opportunity, if any members of the commission wants to comment before the board starts asking some questions or commenting.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. First, I'd like to thank each and every one of you in giving me the opportunity to serve on this committee, and I would like to thank the other committee members for their time and dedication. I've enjoyed working with them as on a personal level and as group members in putting forth this recommendation. Having said that, I strongly disagree with the bulk of the committee's report. I do not believe that the direction from you as supervisors was that we come in and basically upset the apple cart and find problems where problems did not exist. And I believe that the people that work within the individual departments on a day-to-day basis or have had worked in those departments on a daily basis have a more full, complete understanding of the ins and outs of the process of that department and how the structure works. We as a committee came in and visited with each department. We got the basics of the structure, but we did not get an in-depth, full working aspect of county government as a whole. What I have seen in county government has been really positive. I think that the staff and the department heads, the supervisors, have done an exemplary job of providing services to the people of the county. When you talk about the social services aspect, there is availability to those in need. Mental health is a very, very serious issue that has been addressed by the county and is continuing to be to have a process in the works to make sure that those with mental health needs have the help that they need. The various aspects, everything from the Rescue League and having humane, safe places for animals to have shelter and find good, loving homes for those animals, the County Conservation Department has done an incredible job of finding land and putting together recreational opportunities for the betterment of the citizens of this county and bringing people and economic development into this county. The supervisors and the department heads have worked on economic development issues, which are paramount, particularly with the budget issue. When we went to the, we had two visits to the sheriff's department. Each time we had full access to every one of their staff. They talked about the particular responsibilities of each of the staff members. They talked about the needs. As in every department, everyone was open to any question that we asked. We got a response, or they followed up and got a response for us. So we really appreciate that. You know, you have the situation with the methamphetamines that was addressed, the gun safety locks. The county attorney's office is fully accessible at both the Ames and the Nevada levels. The structure within the departments as far as the auditor, the treasurer, the recorder, the people within that department, the engineering department has been incredible. Their heart and soul is in providing a public service to this community, and it is very, very clearly expressed when you meet with these people. You look at the county maintenance and the amount of money that has been saved by the people in that department doing their construction projects and their work with the geothermal. And I can go on and on and on about the great things that are going on in this county government. To say that it's antiquated is totally off base. There are areas where improvement could take place. I agree that the communication, both externally and internally, definitely need improved upon. The roads clearly are an issue. Security is an issue. Those parts of the reports I'm in full agreement with, that there are ways to really enhance the structure of county government. But my view is that to go with a city manager and bring or a county manager and bring another level into a workable government process is a hindrance to the county and is not economically responsible. And as far as the supervisors going to a part-time, whether it's stipend position or however that is the recommendation is to structure that, I think it would have a very adverse impact on this county. The supervisors have historically and currently taking a leadership role in not just within the counties but in communicating with the general public, whether it's going to Rotary clubs or community events, but statewide events, and on the national level, the department department heads and the supervisors have really benefited this county by being involved in things outside the county, which brings revenue, resources, and really attention into this county structure. So my opinion, my dissenting opinion is based on those facts. I would like to commend the employees in county government for the job that they're doing. I think that had there been a huge disparity around the county in the way that this county is operating as a government structure, or an unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction with the employees in the way they're doing their jobs, we would have seen a huge public outcry in the meetings that we held around the county. That did not happen. There are areas of improvement. A lot of them are budget related, and there are real needs that are not going to happen overnight on issues like the budgetary, obviously. But that is my position. I strongly believe that the status quo of county government should remain as it is, and work on building this to provide a much better, more effective communication. Communication and education are key. You've got to have open communication with the people in the departments, and I understand that they're working on things like employee evaluations and that type of thing. But that is paramount. Communication with the public is happening on a great level. There have been concerns about from the people in the towns, city councils, or representatives, that maybe when they have their annual meeting that they really don't get as much information as they would like to have had. So one of the things I suggested is perhaps when they have an annual meeting or biannual, that maybe they do a little breakout workshop and spend a half a day talking to people within other city governments and within the county and discuss their issues and really form a working group. So, I mean, that's just one possibility. But, again, I would like to thank you for this process, and I'd like to thank all the county employees for the great work that they're doing.
Well, thank you, Sandy, as well, and also Ted. And I'm going to make just a couple statements before I ask my two cohorts here to begin to weigh in. I also went through and highlighted several pages that I probably have questions that I'd like to maybe just have you or members of the committee perhaps help me understand the rationale and how you arrived at some of the recommendations that you made. As I read through the individual minutes of each of the meetings, I could understand, where the gist of the focus perhaps was, but I could not determine the depth of maybe where you were going in some of these areas. But let me first of all begin by acknowledging also your comment as well, Sandy, and that of the rest of the committee. The report in itself, had we come in with a unanimous slate across the board, I would have looked at that and says, wow, being a long-time member, three-term member of the Board of Supervisors, I would say, wow, Story County really has some problems that I'm totally unaware of. Maybe I've been asleep at the wheel for a long time. And you all have touched on some inefficiencies that I'm not aware of. When we gave you the charge, and this is meant to not in a disparaging way in any way, shape, or form, I particularly was concerned about the direction or the lack of direction that we didn't give you any specificity about what areas we'd like you to really kind of focus on. But we felt that by you opening up and going in whatever direction you saw and leaving that to you, then it was our responsibility to accept that in the spirit in which it was given. And that is what I believe this board has done and will do as we deliberate further action as we move forward. Now, let me begin by the very two things. One of the interesting articles in Ames News Online made us in here, and Ted, I'm going to pick on you because you and I like to pick on one another. We're friends, and we will continue to be friends. The statement was, well, in my circle, if we don't come up with something bold, we are going to be considered a failure. You know, to me, I looked at that and I said, you know, I don't think you're a failure. And I don't, and I think even the proposal of looking at an alternative form of government or moving from a three-person to a five-person for consideration is a bold statement because it's a change from what we currently have right now. I would like to basically acknowledge that while I understand the dynamics of the rest of the counties and whether it's a three-person or a five-person board, and several of our larger counties have gone to a five-person board, I'm very close to the inner workings of county government than most of my cohorts. Ever since 2003, I have served on the Supervisors Exec Board of the Iowa Association of Counties. And one of our duties and responsibilities is to plan for seminars and workshops, fall, spring, and a new officer school, in which we make certain that our supervisors are well aware of the change in trends in county government and how they can go about being more effective in the delivery of service. And then as I looked at the other statement you made reference to, if I could just quickly say, the 21st century, we're in the 21st century, but yet we're operating, something based on the 19th century. I remind you the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Iowa. You know, they were put in place for a reason. And there are provisions that allows elected bodies to make changes as they see fit without totally changing the entire structure of the way they operate. And so when I look at that, here's a document right here that is a manual. It's entitled A Manual for County Supervisors of Iowa. And it goes through the kinds of things that new supervisors and current supervisors can look at as they go about doing their duties. And this is put together by the Iowa Association of Counties with legal counsel and representatives not only at the local level but at the national level based upon effective ways of administering service in county government. I believe Bill Peterson, when he spoke to you guys, perhaps maybe mentioned something about this document and these manuals. However, when I looked at your recommendation and so forth, I sensed that there was not really a recognition that there is ongoing training, ongoing preparation. As we move into the new technology age, counties around the entire state, of the 99 counties, are looking at ways to provide more effective service. I serve on a body from the Iowa Association of Counties called COSTAR. It's dealing with county strategic technology planning, where we're working with supervisors in each of the counties as to how they can improve their technology offering, have opportunity to remote site work for some of their workers, also be able to lessen the foot traffic coming in and out of county government buildings in order to do the very things that is mentioned in some of the recommendations. However, those things are going to take time. They aren't going to happen overnight. One of the big problems is a source of revenue. Where's the dollars going to come from? And so a lot of these counties are struggling with that very issue. What you have presented us with here, I think, is an excellent blueprint. It gives us an opportunity to evaluate where we've been and where we could be in the future. I would like to acknowledge both these two guys that I've had the pleasure of working with in this past year and a half coming on board. They have challenged the board and challenged me to open up my lens into areas that I had not explored in the past. We've known that these were some areas out there that, at counties at some point we'd like to look at, but Rick, on the other hand, appears to be one of these gung-ho, energetic. He wants to be involved. He's an action-oriented supervisor. He doesn't want to just come here every day and sit in behind the desk and look at things without pushing the envelope a little bit. And I would have to say the same thing about Paul. So what it's caused me to do is to sit back a little bit and observe and listen and say, you know, that makes sense. We haven't looked at that for a number of years. Why shouldn't we take a look at it? Is there a better, more efficient way of doing things? We may find out that what we've done is great, that we don't need to change. But at least we deserve to look at it. And I think this is what they're asking us, and this is what they've asked me to do as a chair of this board. And when a decision is made, whether it's a unanimous decision or if it's a majority of the board, a 2-to-1, I, as a member of the board, will support that decision 100% and will never look back and second guess or question, because if the majority of the board says this is the direction we want to go, you know, I'm going to be behind it. As you recall, I was not 100% in favor of the direction that we gave you to begin with. I preferred that we look at only the concept of moving from 3 to 5. But I was fully aware that the majority of the board felt that this would be a good direction and a good time for us to explore this. I think this has been a helpful exercise. I believe there are things contained within here that we're already talking about, we have been talking about, and we're going to get there. The question is how soon we will get there. I don't know. So I don't want you or any of the committee to think that your efforts has gone for naught, that it is will be remembered as a bold attempt to have us look at how we do business. Is there a better way of doing it? And then if we can determine that there is a better way, to try to take steps to improve on that system. One of the things we've learned, or I've learned, is that while we get input from a lot of people, we're not going to always please everybody. And I'm sure that probably we're not going to please, you know, everyone on the committee based upon whether or not we move on all these recommendations or not. But we certainly, I believe, is going to pay close attention to each of them and see if what feasibility exists, whether we can make changes, and if we decide that we cannot do it within this short turnaround, that doesn't mean we're going to dismiss it. But from that standpoint, a little bit later, I'm going to stop because Paul and Rick, I've told them that I'm ready to stay here to midnight if need be. But I know a lot of you don't want to do that. But I do have questions. I do have questions that I want to come back to as we get into the report itself. So I'm going to be quiet for a few minutes.
Can we talk just a minute about the organization of what we're going to go through tonight? Because I'm sitting here envisioning a process where we can go through what Ted had to say and what Sandy had to say, kind of step by step, because I'm like you, Wayne. I'm fascinated by this report. I will say, you know, if for anybody who doesn't remember, I sat in the seat that Paul is sitting in back in August of 2010 in either my first or second meeting as an appointee.
First
meeting as an appointee, and made the motion to put the concept of 5 supervisors on the ballot. It is something that I've felt very strongly about, and something that as I was campaigning over a 3-year period for this seat, that I heard about continually. And so I've got questions, because I don't end up exactly where you guys ended up in the recommendation, and I've got questions about it. But just so we can get the process clear, Wayne, if it's okay, I would like to see if anybody else from the committee would like to say anything to us. And then just start at the top of the recommendations and go through it. And, Sandy, I'd like you to weigh in again with your perspective on some of these things. But I had questions about code issues. I had questions, Ted, even about a couple things you said here tonight in terms of what we're empowered to do by code, what steps we can take, and kind of how we move on with this report. Because there's a lot in here that I think, like Wayne, I'm ready to go. Absolutely, great idea. Absolutely, let's go. Let's move on this, or we're already moving on that. And I think we should talk about that tonight. Some of the more complex things, I'm not entirely sure how it fits together where you start the ball rolling to get to some of those places, and I'd like to talk about that. So, Wayne, I don't know if that's what you had envisioned.
Yes, I did.
But, okay.
Yeah, I did. That's why I say I've got them all.
Could I just remind you all of one thing? That's when Sandy and I were appointed co-chairs, and we sat down with you all to select the balance of the committee. I think the first question that I asked, and I think Sandy agreed, are there any restrictions?
Right.
If there are, I'm not interested.
Absolutely.
That's where we've come from. And that is the same thing that we told the other community or committee members.
Well, and what I remember that Wayne's referring to is after you were appointed and we were sitting out here, I believe it was given the charge to the committee that there was a discussion of whether there were limitations, and I believe, Wayne, it was a 2-1 vote to say there's no limitations. We want you guys to go look at everything, and that clearly is exactly what you've done. Now, that doesn't mean, to me anyway, it doesn't mean that I have to agree with everything that you came back with or can't have some questions about what you came back with, but I feel like you guys came back with exactly what we asked you to do. Now I'd like to talk about how you got there on some of these points, because I'm not clear on that. And then if we were to move on that, is it as simple as the board taking action on it, or does it require more than that? And so that's where I'm asking that we go, if you guys are comfortable with that.
Right.
Rick, I'd just like to add something based on the comments that you and Wayne made. I think that the three of you really epitomize why democracy works. And that's one thing that really concerned me about this report, is that the recommendation was taking away the people's voice and the right to vote. You came from different political parties. You had different viewpoints. When you came to the table, partisan politics went away, but the mindset was there to have an open discussion and share new ideas and new input into the process, and I think that is a very, very invaluable asset to the structure of what you are doing and what is in county government. So, and I appreciate where you have evolved from day one, and I appreciate where Paul has evolved from day one, because this is not an overnight process, just like the budget, to pick up on the ins and outs of county government.
And I would say the same thing right back to the committee. I mean, clearly we had requirements of party affiliation and residency and all kinds of things, trying to form a committee that optically would have some great appearance. And then we tried to dig in and find people who were doers, and clearly we did that. And so I'd say same thing back to you, and I don't know if you would agree with this statement or not, but I don't view anything in here as political philosophy based. I view everything in here as you guys tried to dig in and figure out where the county was and where you thought we needed to go, and I don't read anything in here that I say, oh, that's a Republican point of view or that's a Democrat point of view. And maybe I missed something, but I didn't read anything like that.
Paul, would you like to make a comment or two?
Well, we can sit up here all night and take turns thanking the committee, but it goes without saying that you guys have done a great job, and I don't know how many times we can say that, you know, in different words, but you did what we asked. You did it sooner than we asked you to do, a month ahead of schedule. I know you guys met weekly for 5 or 6 weeks, and you met 2 times in the last week that you met, and you know, volunteer service is great, and for me, I think you guys all went above and beyond in getting this report done and getting it filed, and that's why we're here tonight. So, but I agree with Rick. Unless one of the committee members wants to get up and say something, I mean, I'll start. I'll jump right in on the top, and we'll work our way down. The switch from 3 to 5. You know. I worked for the county for 30 years in the sheriff's department. Never gave much thought to how many board members we had in Story County. I thought, for the most part, they did a pretty good job at what they were doing. I questioned some things, and I think that's only natural. And then I made the decision that I was going to run for the Board of Supervisors. And it was, I think, by virtue of the fact that Rick had ran previously, it was a campaign issue. You know, do we go from 3 to 5? I didn't hear a lot about it outside the realm of the campaign. I didn't have a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I think Story County would be better served if we went from 3 supervisors to 5. It was a campaign issue, and my stance during the campaign was that if the citizens in Story County had the desire and the and the will to go from three to five, then that's what we would do, and I would agree with that. But I have some questions. If you go from three to five, and like your recommendation says, you serve by district, and Ted, you said it, I've seen the maps. Three of those districts are in the city of Ames. I can't come to the conclusion that the citizens in the unincorporated areas of Story County are served any better by three at-large supervisors elected at-large than they would be by five supervisors elected by district, three of those districts wholly within the city of Ames, and the other two districts having to take some population base out of the city of Ames in order to meet the requirement for the district sizing. So I can't make that leap where the people in the county would be better served by five supervisors by district. Ideally, I think if you were going to go to five, I would love to see it go three by district and two at large, but the code of Iowa doesn't allow that. So I think that's unfortunate. But I guess that's where I come down. I don't see how the representation is going to be any better. I took the initiative to step up and run for supervisor, and I live in the unincorporated areas of Story County. We haven't had a supervisor from the unincorporated area for quite a few years. Don Toms lived in Nevada and served up until 2004, I think, 2006. Well, I think it's a matter of initiative. If you're going to run for the Board of Supervisors, you have to campaign in Ames. I mean, two-thirds of the registered voters live in the city of Ames. So if you're going to run for supervisor, you have to campaign in Ames, and for the most part, you have to carry Ames. But you can't ignore the other parts of the county. But to think that you're going to run for supervisor in an at-large county and all you have to do is campaign in the small towns and hit the co-ops and go out and shake hands with the farmers, you're sadly mistaken, because it's just not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen here. It doesn't happen in Linn County. It won't happen in Polk County. It's not going to happen in any county in the state. So that's where I come down on the three to five. It's just I don't feel that the residents in this county are unrepresented or underserved. You hear that comment quite a bit from people, and particularly in the eastern half of the county. I've had that conversation, but I think when you try to put the hammer on the nail head, they come up very short of trying to give you examples how they're being underserved.
I think there needs to be a little clarification here. We did not recommend going from three to five unless the charter of government changes to the supervisor's manager form. And that's sure. Part of the code that it's going to be five board members. Other than that, we did not. That's the only place it shows up.
Well, I guess that wasn't really clear to me. I thought one of the recommendations was to go from three to five.
That is an explanation of the recommendation to change the charter.
One of the considerations that we did.
Why don't you speak on the microphone, please? Yeah, please.
Just so you're recorded for posterity,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, I mean, especially since you look so sharp. Could actually come up here at one of these two.
All right. Well, when we discussed this, one of the items that was brought up is when there's just three, and the reason we put it together with the county manager is because the job you guys have is a full-time job. Whoops. Different positions that I've sat in, that there are numerous people in the county that are very qualified, very interested in county government, very willing to serve, but they also have to make a living in their own full-time jobs. So by going to five, serving on not on a full-time basis, where you're not in here every day, kind of like my bank boards, you're opening up a different, you're giving a lot more people another opportunity to serve, to give another view as they come on, and that's kind of one of the reasons that we looked at going to that with the county manager. So because of the full-time basis that you're on.
I appreciate that. I'd ask us to even take a step further back just because I have a question, in looking at the public input that you guys received, both in form of the surveys and in form of the feedback that you got in the Herculean task of going almost city by city around the county to give citizens a chance to provide you with input in their hometown. Frankly, I was surprised and disappointed at the lack of information that you guys back. I would have never believed that you were going to have 90 some odd people respond to a paper survey. And really, as I read it, it was only like 83 true responses that you got out of those 90 something. And then for the meetings around the county, I came to one down in Collins, and I want to say, other than the city clerk, there was really only one other person that came to that meeting. And so my question. Paul and I just happened to view the difference between 3 and 5 differently fundamentally. I guess I should start by saying I love serving on this board with these two guys. I think we're effective. I think we're having some success at getting some things done. That said, I'm not looking at this based on the individual sitting in the chairs. I'm looking at this from a structural point of view, and structurally, I just happen to like 5 better. That said, I did understand that I never saw anything in here where you were recommending that the board take action to move us to 5 supervisors. I saw it as part of the charter. I'm just curious how you got there, because I don't read it in the surveys. I didn't see it in the public input that you got. And so I'm curious about the dynamic of how the committee got to this recommendation.
I'll jump in on that first. Okay. We looked as we went around the county, visited with the different departments and the electeds. One of the things we think that is inherent in the structure that causes problems is that you have other departments that electeds run that have not correlated with the overall county option, that a strategic plan for the entire county operation to serve the citizens is important. That being said, that in the future, with a lot of these things changing, we felt that structure, which very much follows what city governments have been doing for a long time. I come out of city government, former Mayor of Ames. Patrick Sheets is former Mayor of Nevada. Marty, of course, sits on school board. Steve, with a business background, and even the others, because it was a 6-1 vote, and that suggestion came right off the top.
Okay.
But there was a disconnect inherent in the system.
And so are you saying the disconnect is because the code gives authority to the other elected offices, and where the supervisors have oversight only through the budgeting process in terms of where the dollars are allocated?
That's a very big and important point, yes.
Okay, now, if that is an important issue, why is it that in 2012, 99 counties have still stayed with an elected body of officers in those various departments? I mean, I find that the rationale doesn't quite fit the reality, because other communities could have had the exact same desire if they felt that it was going to provide better service and tried to move away from elected offices. As you recall, Polk County had a charter form of government several years ago, but that was brought about by a group of people thinking that the sheriff had too much power and so forth, and so they wanted to try to dig in and change that structure. But when it was all said and done, it did not go anywhere. And I think this is one of the things that, coming back to what Sandy had to say, is there is a, in my opinion, a fundamental issue here with being an elected body that is subject to the will of the people, whether it's board of supervisors, auditor, treasurer, recorder, county attorney, sheriff. Those people, if they aren't doing their job, they can be voted out, you know, at any point after their term is over. And to me, that is a direct representation of the will of the people. And so I look at the concept of the idea of doing away with that. the history of Story County, in my opinion, in my 12 years, and I think if I go back even before that, is we have had great cooperation between our elected body and the Board of Supervisors in terms of how we manage county government. Yes, there have been some differences. Yes, elected officials have come to the board asking for things that we have not always agreed and given them. But that didn't prevent them from going ahead and asking for that. They fully was aware that once the dollars were appropriated, that they had the authority to make those management decisions within their purview, and I believe that's the way it should be. The Board of Supervisors, in my opinion, should not be micromanaging another elected body, but at the same time, we want to make sure they are accountable to the public. And that's why we have a policy that says expenditures greater than $5,000 must be brought to the Board of Supervisors in a public meeting so the public is aware. And the big question that we just debated here with a couple weeks ago is there are certain situations where a non-budgeted item may come up that an elected officer holder may wish to purchase. And we have to acknowledge it. And what we were basically saying is, yes, that is correct, as long as they have the dollars within their budget. But they still are notifying the board and they're notifying the public that they have shifted their priorities and they wish to do so. So I'm not sensing that there is this real need that we need to do away with elected bodies simply because there is this one element of the way in which they are responsible to the citizens just like we are as supervisors. However, I could understand where some citizens would feel that maybe if it was different, that they didn't have this, it would be different. My concern was, is if you go to an appointed position, who's going to make that appointment? Is it going to be the Board of Supervisors? And if it is, you know, what type of authority or power does that put in the hands of that individual? Now, obviously, under the county manager form of government, we're basically saying that maybe the county manager is going to assume a lot of the authority of hiring. Right now, the way it exists for all of the departments except the elected officers is the three of us as Board of Supervisors, along with our HR person, and any other committee that we put together will review applications for current job positions or department heads. And then we will make a recommendation. Three eyes, in my opinion, is better than one, making that final decision, even though it's subject to the recommendation or the approval of the Board of Supervisors. So I see the way we are hiring department heads right now much more effective than asking one single person to take that responsibility totally upon themselves to do so. That's just my opinion.
I'd like to acknowledge your comments and concerns about the five-person and how we got there, because that was a concern of mine that I expressed repeatedly throughout this process, and it goes back to my earlier comments about creating a problem where a problem doesn't exist. I never saw in this process or heard in this discussion a legitimate reason, in my view, where the means justified the end. And we did not at any time have the public coming forward to any of us saying, we've got to go to a five-person board. We need to completely restructure county government. We need to go with county managers. We need to do away with the salaries these people are getting. We need to do away with elected. That wasn't happening. So I'm 100% in your court there that I didn't see it either.
Well, I was just curious where it came from. I mean, the explanation to me makes perfect sense. If the charge to you was look at ways that county government can be more effective, and this is what you came to as a way that county government could be more effective, even though it didn't come from public input necessarily, it makes sense to me. Now I have some questions about where you ended up. For example, I say, with the rationale you just gave, why five? Why not seven or nine as allowed by code? And I don't know that it's good or bad or anything. I'm just curious if that was discussed. And why not something along the lines of what Paul said, as allowed by code, and I think it's allowed by, I'll ask Steve Holmes back there, it's 331.238 that says limitations to alternative forms of government. As I read it, you could have a county manager form if you could get there through the charter process, but you could also have, it's got to be an odd number, but it could be 7 or 9 supervisors with the manager. You could also elect several of them at large and several of them by district. That's allowed by code. So I'm curious if with the rationale you gave for how you got there, why not the next step as well? And maybe it was something that never came up or wasn't discussed. I'm just curious why we didn't get somewhere like that as well.
Blake, go ahead, Steve.
Make sure is this on now? Okay. I'd kind of like to address some of the things that Wayne was talking about earlier. And I'd also like to say that all of the departments we spoke to were extremely helpful. What they're doing, they're struggling with a lot of issues, some of them every day. But the impression that we got out there at times was that each department was protecting its own little corner of the world. And in doing so, sometimes we wondered if they were looking at the overall good for the people of Story County. That was the impression we got on a couple of occasions. Well, really several occasions. The other thing that kind of drove us this way, and we did not have an opportunity to do a fiscal study, is you gentlemen are faced with the problem of so many dollars and so many commitments. Mm-hmm. And the impression that we got from visiting with the department heads, and which is a very real problem, is give us more money and give us more people, and we can do what we need to do. When we were down in the southern part of the county, one of the objections we heard is it takes the sheriff a long time to get deputies down in that part of the county. Mm-hmm. It's understandable. He only has so many that are out on the road. You can't be too many places at once. So how efficiently do you try to pare this down or figure it out? You're either going to have to get more revenue, mm-hmm. which it seems like in talking to taxpayers, they're not real happy with that idea, or you're going to have to work more efficiently and get it back out into the hands and onto onto the streets. And that's kind of what we were looking at. The 5 or 7, probably could go with 7. I think we were talking about 5 at the time because we were looking for ways that we could have a board. I'd also like to address your comments, Wayne, about a county manager. Coming from a structure where I have a board of directors, in other words, acts as my board of supervisors, any major hires are ratified by them. They are also interviewed by them. Then each department head has the authority, for example, my cashier has the authority to hire his own teller staff. Now, if there's a problem in it, I, as the manager, have to address that. If there's a problem with me, my board is on top of me. Mm-hmm. And you do use an HR department to help you within these. So you're not taking all of the hiring away and putting it in one individual.
I'm basically reading the report the way it was outlined.
I understand
the nuances of how it should be, because I serve on boards and commissions that do exactly what you're doing when it comes to hiring, but the report did not spell that out. So I took it literally as saying that we're going to put the authority in the hands of the manager to make those decisions.
Understand. Just trying to clarify.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing, Wayne, that you got to keep in perspective is that we're looking here at the future of the operation of the county, and that the committee, overwhelmingly 61, felt that a different structure was going to be more efficient and more effective to the operation and to the citizens of the county. And that's what I said in the beginning. This is not against any individual, any department, but we found that there was some inherent disconnect in the operation, because mainly your relationship with other electeds is a monetary one. And from there, it just practically ends.
Ted, under the structure that we have currently right now with the liaison assignments, we are having more communication with our elected office holders as well as our department heads. We used to meet bi-monthly with all of the people that answered directly to the Board of Supervisors every Monday. But because of the perception of the question about open meetings and so forth, we chose to move away from that format and go to each of us assigned as liaisons for our different department heads. So we're meeting with them. We're getting feedback. We report back in the regular board meeting what is basically going on. Now, the difference between that is not all three of us are able to hear all of the background information and understanding and the day-to-day questions unless it's presented in a formal board meeting. But when
it makes our board meetings go 3 hours.
It does. But when it's all said and done, that's one of the trade-offs
yeah.
of open meetings and trying to make sure that we are operating in that format. So while I would have preferred that we've done it the other way, I'm finding that this is working. And I think we can continue to make it even better as we move forward. And certainly the elected officers are on the phone whenever they need to communicate with the supervisors. They will ask us to come over or they will come over here. There is a lot of communication between the supervisor and the elected officers about how they wish to manage their department and if they wish to have additional expenditures. That this is not a disconnect. There is a great deal of communication. They don't always agree with the decision that we as a board make, but that doesn't prevent them from coming to us and sharing their thoughts and their desires. But there is communication.
I think I look at elected officials, I'll talk for myself and then assume for everybody else, but I think they have a desire that they want to serve. I mean, I could have stayed home and collected my IPERS and mowed for the city of Nevada and been perfectly happy, but that's not what I wanted to do. Renee Tweed had a full-time job, and she had a desire to serve, so that's why she's here. I think if we leave those department heads up to being hired by a city or a county manager and approved by the Board of Supervisors, that's the only person that they're accountable to. They're only accountable to the manager, and the manager's accountable to the Board of Supervisors. I'm just guessing that Steve Holmes could make more money in private practice than what he's making here today. And the sheriff, I think if you went out and asked any of these elected officials, would you do what you're doing today for the salary that you're going to get if you were hired by a county manager and not elected by the people? And the ones I've talked to said absolutely not. I'd go someplace else and make more money and wouldn't have to worry about it. But that's not why they're here. They're here because they have a desire to serve. That's where I'm at. The three of us were elected to manage this county, and I think that's what we're doing, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. I don't know how big a staff the city manager in Ames has, but I don't think one county manager is going to be able to fulfill that role here successfully without having to have additional staff. And when you look out beyond that, it becomes a budgetary item. I mean, the three of us are making around $62,000 a year. I don't know what you would have to pay a manager to manage a county with 340 full-time employees, and then what he would have to have for staff. We've got two people in our HR department, and she needs more staff. So it's just one on top of the other. But for me, I was elected to manage the county as a part of a three-person board, and I try to do the best job that I can. And I think from where we're at today, I think we've done a pretty good job.
Well, I think the concept certainly is one that needs a lot of thought and shouldn't be easily dismissed. But, Ted, you're familiar with this organization, the National League of Cities. I just came from the National League of Cities Risk Conference in St. Louis, and I asked this very question to most of the city managers that were present, particularly about elected versus appointed. And to every one of them, they said no way would they want to be elected by the body. They would much rather to be an appointed manager, even though they knew that there's turnover in boards of supervisors, the governing body, but the chances are that they have greater job security as an appointed manager than an elected manager. And I thought that was, really interesting. Yes, I know it was. And I wanted to be able to say that to Tom from that standpoint. But I think that going back to where we are, and I don't know if whether the 3 versus 5, if there's some additional questions that we need to look at, but I do think the concept of the county manager form of government, and I think, is it 2, Cedar Rapids? There's 2 counties that have, of the 98, that has a managing form of government. And in most of those cases, from what I've heard, it's working well for them. The rest of the counties, I do know that I brought this up to the Supervisor Exec Board in Coralville in November, and to a one, no one wanted to move away from the current structure of county government of having elected supervisors or moving to a different form of government. And so while one person said to me, well, if Story County moves in this direction, what you're going to see is you're going to have 98 counties out here staying with what they have and one county deciding that they're going to go out on their own and operate this way. Now, I just thought that was kind of a humorous way of taking a look at it, but I know the concept is that maybe we could be the catalyst that will cause other counties to want to follow along the similar way. I don't think that's going to happen under the current climate, but I do see chances for combining offices or sharing across county lines, different services. I think the economics is driving that discussion. We're seeing it right now in mental health in the redesign arena. We're seeing it in smaller counties with secondary roads, and in some law enforcement. I do think that there is opportunities that counties can work with counterparts from other counties if we can collectively put our heads together and bring the people to the table to look at how this can be done. So I see value in not only this board but future boards wanting to have that dialogue, because the bottom line is cost-saving measures. Can we provide quality service in the most cost-effective way by consolidation or by sharing services between, particularly if you're on a border county? You know, if you're talking secondary roads between Marshall County, Story County, or Hardin County, or Boone County, within a certain quarter, there are certain things that could easily be done, which I think could be very efficient if we can work out those nuances.
As I read, I take this as the one really major recommendation that the committee is making by a 6-1 vote. And then I viewed the other recommendations as, you know, not less important, but more minor and more action that the board can take. I just, before we move on off of this.
Unanimous.
Before I move off of this board manager recommendation, I just want to make sure I'm clear on what we're empowered to do and what the process would be to get there. And so I'm going to kind of go through it, and you guys jump in and stop me if I miss something. I don't see where the Board of Supervisors have any authority at all to take us toward a board manager form of government. It would have to be initiated by a petition of the electorate, which would be 25%, either 25% of the number that voted in the last general election or 10,000, whichever is less. So the voting for governor in Story County, as I remember it, it was 30-some-odd thousand, so call it 8,000 signatures that you'd have to get prior to this upcoming general election, when it will be substantially over 40,000 that will have votes. So then it'll go to 10,000. Is it the expectation of the committee that there would be some kind of petition drive immediately to get something like this on the ballot for 2012? Is that the recommendation? Is that the...
That's not in our recommendation. Our recommendation is that the next step needs to be taken by the citizens of Story County to acquire the necessary signatures.
Does that...
Realistically, I would say that this would come up in 2014, not in 2012.
Okay, but this recommendation, you're not asking for anything from the board. It's not, you're not asking us to initiate the petition drive. I don't think we can.
That's
I just want to make
said
sure.
That the board can't do this on its own.
Okay, and so then if the petition drive is successful, ultimately whenever, whether it's 2012 or 2014, then that doesn't trigger it, as I read the code, going on to the ballot. It triggers the appointment of a commission.
Correct.
Called a charter.
Charter commission, which would be two members from every elected official from Story County, plus every elected representative that has a certain percentage in the county. As I count it, that means a 26-member commission. Look right around the room. We got about 26 people in here right now.
And none of them can hold any appointed position, state, local.
Right. But I would appoint two. Wayne would appoint two. Paul Wood, Steve Holmes. Everybody appoints two. And then we ask that commission to basically start over and come up with some. They may not come back with a board manager recommendation. I mean, and I just want to make sure I understand all this as we move on from here.
You essentially have to write a new charter.
Right.
And that could
right
be anything or nothing.
Right.
You could get the signatures, appoint that commission, and they could very easily come back and say, we don't want to write a charter. Why would, I mean, Stephen, am I right on that? They have a year to do something or nothing.
Correct. And they can do it before the year.
But actually, after the petitions are filed, the board has 10 days to pass a resolution to appoint the committee.
Right.
All right. So that gets me, unless you guys have more, that gets me to the end of that. I appreciate the recommendation. I don't see where the board can take any action on this. Citizens of Story County, have at it, and we'll see what happens from there is kind of my stance there, unless somebody thinks that there's something else we should be doing with that recommendation. That takes me to combining of elected offices, where you say, Ted, it is the committee's recommendation that if the board manager form of government is not sought, at the minimum, the offices of elected officials be abolished and the position appointed duties combined. I think it reverses that in code. But as I see it, that's not a board of supervisors are not empowered to do that either. That requires the same drive of signatures. I mean, I think it's the same number. I think it's 25%. I don't even think there's the 10,000 minimum on there. I think it's just straight 25%. And so I want to make sure we're all clear there. And if I'm missing it, Stephen, if I'm missing the code, please tell me.
I think you're right.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Again, I just want to make sure that as we come out of this meeting today, we understand as a board what we're empowered to do and what the hope and expectation is of the committee, you know, as you guys finish your work. So, Marty, did you see that one any differently? Okay. Which gets me to facilities. Again, I don't mean to move us too fast, but it felt to me like we were starting to go in circles for something that we're not even really empowered to deal with. And I think it was a fascinating conversation. But it is. I've got my middle one graduating this weekend, so I've got family in town and everything else. So I'm going to try to move us along. So facilities.
Hey, Denny.
Security was the first recommendation that I heard you guys come back with out of facilities. I would say that I am in entire agreement of the concept. I'm having real trouble with the level of security. I mean, security to me can mean everything from having two armed police officers or two armed sworn sheriff deputies and metal detectors to having somebody stationed at the front desk in this building or the front desk of human services or wherever and anything in between. And so I'm trying to reconcile that. And I'm also trying to reconcile that with the reality that Steve pointed out, which there is a limited revenue stream. And trying to, this job for me anyway, has been all about prioritization. Okay, you've got roads, which we were informed 4 weeks ago is $1 million underfunded for us to be able to get it on a continuous basis. We've got security, which depending on the level, there was a report done exactly like you guys are asking for. I think the sheriff said it was somewhere in the early 2000s.
Right.
And to fully staff and man, and this is more at the deputy level, you're talking about $1 million a year just to staff our buildings if we went to that level. And so I'm trying to rank this in my mind. I agree with the needs for security, but I also recognize this is a public building that we've got to, you know, the public can come unannounced from time to time. I mean, that's the purpose of this building. And so I'm trying to figure that out. So can you guys help me through where this ranks, if we've got X number of dollars and we've got all these places that it's got to go, where does this fit in? Is this number one priority that we should be looking at? Where does it fit in your mind?
I can't tell you specifically in the priorities, but I would tell you that it is very high in the priorities. And our recommendation was that we appreciated the process that you're doing now and would recommend that you continue to evaluate and look toward funding and where you can go with security, both for the staff and employees of county government, but also the public that's entering the facilities. The Judicial Center clearly has issues with types of cases that come before the courts and the jail. And as we sat in here one afternoon in a meeting, I had a bird's eye view of the hall, and you know, we saw people wandering around the building lost because they couldn't find out where they were going. So you know, something as minimal as the kiosk or the information mm-hmm. desk could really help with that situation, so you don't have people wandering around in the building, you know, not knowing, and you don't know who the, you know, obviously you don't know who these people are. It's a public building, and they do have a right to be there. But at the same time, if it was a security issue and that person's running around the building, no one would think twice about it because it's just commonplace.
And you got me in. I'm in, Sandy, on the idea of having somebody manning that front desk. I mean, I look at Steve and I say, you wouldn't want somebody coming in, a customer coming in your bank and not having anybody there to greet them or help them get where they need to go. Well, the fact is the public are our customers, and we need to do a better job welcoming them to our buildings. So I'm there. That's just a different level of security than having the two sheriff's deputy sitting down there. The other one I really like that you guys pointed out here is the passive measures. The idea that there's some kind of button, and I don't necessarily mean one here, but there's some kind of button under Renee's counters down in the treasurer's office, and there's a button for the people in the recorder's office and in the auditor's office and down in the basement where it's hard to get to Leanne's office, but somebody could wander back there sometime, and if Leanne can't get to a phone, there's no way to really know that. So I'm in on those. I just want to know what level and what priority you guys placed on that.
Sometimes those recommendations tie together. If you piecemeal in the comments Ted made about the one-stop shop for the licensing, you know, it's very inconvenient for these people, and people do get irritated and impatient, and mm-hmm. so they have to go here to do one thing and here to do one thing, where if they could just go one spot, it would just really, it would help with everything, including the security issue. And clearly, when you have employees that are dealing with a lot of money or issues that affect them mentally and personally, you know, you're going to have those concerns. And so our goal is to step up the level of security and then evolve from what economically is available right now and then improve upon that with a plan and a structure.
I was surprised to learn when this building was remodeled, however many years ago it was, that
2000.
Prior to that there were panic buttons in here, and I think mainly that's because the sheriff's office was located here, and when the remodel was done, those buttons were taken out. So that's something that I wasn't aware of until I came on the board. I know that we're looking at a new countywide, we're looking at a new phone system probably next year. I think that's probably something that somehow could play into that, but It is a little bit different. When the sheriff's office was here, that's who responded to any problems in the building. And now that he's not on site, it's become the responsibility of the police department here in Nevada. So that's...
Please go there, please.
You know, when we...
You just think it's not working.
I can talk loud. I found it startling, the fact that I believe you have 28E agreements with the Ames Police Department and the Nevada Police Department for security for these buildings, correct?
I'm not sure what the
I think it's their jurisdiction.
Which I think, you know, on the county structure, you would think it would be a county purview, but it's not. And once again, I don't know if this building or any of the county buildings have an emergency response plan, or you're in the process of coming up with one.
Yes, we are. We do have a one that is kind of outdated and needs to be revised. We have put in place a countywide safety committee That is one of their charges, is to take a look at that and make bring forth recommendations as to how we can address a lot of those concerns. But, one of the things, getting back to the panic button or what have you, one of the things we noticed was the warning system, the inability in the case of a fire or needing to go to the basement for a tornado threat or whatever. Keith Morgan, our new emergency management director, I went to Des Moines to Bass Pro Shop and I bought some of those little horns, little boat air horns, and we've been trying those out to make them available within the various places on each floor, that if we had to get a notification to our departments and the public, we could use that to let them know that they needed to either go to the basement or evacuate the building. Now, that's a stopgap measure at this point in time, but it's, again, recognizing that we've got to do something. We just can't sit and do nothing until we can get this done. So there, I do think this is going to be an area that you're going to see the board working aggressively with facilities and trying to begin that process of looking at how we can make our employees as well as the customers, the clients that come into our buildings feel more safe and secure.
You've made a painful acknowledgement of a long-standing deficiency there, and I'm glad to hear that you are addressing it as a board. But once again, the passive electronic ability to notify the Nevada Police Department, I would think you would be in a position where you want to make sure that the Sheriff's Department is concurrently made aware that there is a problem.
Yes, they would be.
It's no small irony, Paul, when you walk outside and you see the security cameras from long ago that used to be optional or operational that aren't.
Well, they haven't been cameras in those boxes for years.
I know. They're decorative.
You hate to say that you want to put a price on safety and security, but the reality is that you have to.
Paul, I'm sorry, can I interrupt? Leanne's got to go. She got a family thing that she needs to go to. Before she goes, we would all be remiss if we didn't thank Leanne for her work on this. She's been the staff liaison to this group. She's done an unbelievable job. We keep piling more and more on Leanne, and she's had probably the year from hell with a car wreck and broken foot or ankle. And Leanne has been a trooper. And I would like us all to acknowledge the work that Leanne's done. She's done. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Thank you, Leanne.
I'll come get my computer tomorrow.
And this is something that we're working on. I mean, I thought it would be fairly relatively easy to put in an intercom system in this building for warnings or something like that. And apparently it's not. It's not inexpensive and it's not easy. And I think it's unfortunately just a reality. I mean, safety and security is a priority, and that's why we're working on it. But like Rick said, you have to determine what level. I believe to have an armed personnel in inside each of the county building, I don't think is necessary. And if it costs $1 million a year to fund that, I mean, if it gets to a point in Story County where that's necessary, then we'll have to do it. But at this point, I think there's other means that we can take, and other measures and steps that we can take in order to make the citizens that come in these buildings and the people that work here feel safer.
I think that's one reason, Paul, why we've talked about maybe some kind of a study needs to be done to look at this facility. Also, you got the Justice Center. You got metal detectors out there. You got situations with court cases going on, disgruntled people, and they're not being manned or handled or used, is our understanding. It was another situation in this building that they thought should get some attention, and that's the mail room and the handling of mail in and out of the facility. And then, of course, you've got a situation in Ames, but the Human Services building over there with people who may be coming in with chips on their shoulder, etc. But this was something that not only department heads, electeds, but the employees were very concerned with.
And this area, along with several of the others in the recommendations, could certainly benefit from the utilization of volunteers, whether it's you know, volunteers at the information desk are helping give information. You've got your volunteer officer unit that could certainly man the metal detectors. And there's different areas, just I mean, not per se to be held at that.
You can't, do the metal detectors. You can't. You've got to have licensed deputized officers doing that. We've looked into that.
So they would have to go beyond that. But there are various areas where volunteers would be beneficial, and right. then there would not be a cost factor to the county, but the benefits would be yeah. great.
And we did, Sandy, we did make an initial attempt at a volunteer down at the front desk of this building earlier this year. I want to say it was an eight-month experiment that, from my perspective, didn't end very well. But it is something that I think I know as a board member I fully acknowledge and believe that we need to do a better job. But I do tie this together with the idea of treating our customers. Again, if you consider the citizens of Story County our customers really, really well as they enter one of our properties, and that would get to the one stop. You brought up the one stop permitting. That is, I think it's a phenomenal idea. You talk about having lots of chefs in the kitchen in trying to get something like that done. Now, I think Scott County, Renee was just at a meeting with all the state county treasurers, and I think Scott County has gone to an idea of one-stop permitting. I believe they're in conjunction with their DOT. So there are models out there to look at something like that, and I think that's a worthy exercise for us to get through. So.
We use volunteers' names at the kiosk. If nothing else, people who come in don't know where they're going are given direction.
Right.
They can go directly there, not wandering around in the buildings, which occurs. Yeah.
Steve?
From a passive security standpoint, Paul and Marty just touched on an item when we were discussing things with county treasurer, the amount of money that flows across the county treasurer's desk. Security cameras, if you can get all the money flow in one place, the volume, and I know the funds that comes off Story County from the payment of property taxes and that sort of thing, it protects both the employees that are handling those funds as well as people that are coming in. Same, that's a fairly passive.
I think Renee's got a groove on the sidewalk between here and the state bank during tax receipt time.
Does she get it done?
Yeah.
He won't tell you.
Ask her.
But I think the recommendation about the handling of mail is something that the board can work with elected office holders as well as our departments in terms of how it's done. Right now, I'm not aware that this has been a big issue. If it is, we will certainly explore, you know, that. I know the auditor has not found that this has been our area of concern. We had one department that has now addressed this in terms of having more than one set of eyes dealing with opening of information and depositing and things of this nature. So this is something that our auditor, state auditor, has brought to our attention, and to my knowledge, it is now being done in throughout Story County. But if there are some issues as far as mail. Now, I'll just give you a little example. At least Mark is probably quite good at this. But whoever the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors is, when money checks come in, that has to be signed. You know, in this case, I'm signing that check. That's going over to Lisa. Lisa has to enter it or document it. Then it goes down to the treasurer's office and so forth. So there is several layers of more than one person handling, you know, dollars that come into the city, to the county. So I think that system in itself is really good. The question that might be asked is the opening of the initial letters, and how is that handled, and is there a second set of eyes that actually takes that and passes it on? I don't know what the nuances of that is, but I think that's something that we can talk about and look at how our system is currently operating, and is there a better way to assure that no one person is totally handling all of this alone? And so I think that's an excellent something that could be done very quickly.
Super. Going to storage needs, I appreciate the idea that we need more storage space. I will tell you that my perspective is this is so low on my priority list, it's not even funny. I understand that it's hard for us to move our voting equipment. When we have to move it out, we take it down an elevator and out, and there's a possibility of enclosing an overhang in this building where we could store those. There's also the possibility of building a building across the street where we just tore down the old annex building. Again, it just, for me, it comes down to dollars and cents right now, and I'm having trouble reconciling these priorities and the idea of building something for storage for things that other, you pointed out a lot of great things. Sometimes we have building materials and stuff. Right now, we're getting by, and could it be easier? Yeah, it probably could be easier, but the dollars in my mind that we'd have to spend to do something like that right now outweigh the benefit compared to the other dollars that we have to spend other places. So that's
Supervisor Sanders, I took this recommendation after I looked at it, and I ran something by Al Hahn, our facilities director, and the question I asked as far as some of our large equipment, the county shed over there at the conservation uses somewhere at the sheriff's range, if we could somehow enclose that area, which is the building there, is that potentially an area that we could store some of our equipment? He thought that might be something that we could take a look at. Again, we have to work with conservation in terms of what is currently in there now and what would be the best option, because to actually build another facility, whether it's over at the engineer's office or right here, I don't think the residents in this area would like to see put a shed right next to the houses on that particular lot and becomes a very...
They just got rid of the annex building. Yeah. I don't want something else.
Voting issue.
Well, I think it's a valid concern. I think it's a valid issue. When I'm weighing the how much we have and what we've got to do with it, I just want to say right up front, this one's a hard one for me to get to on my priority list, where I think reasonably we can address it sometime soon. And that's just me. I mean,
you have to look at what you're going to use it for. If you're going to store the voting machines over there, if you build a new building where the annex was, it's going to have to be a temperature-controlled building. And as far as the voting machines, I think they're probably right now in the best place they can be. They're back where the jail used to be. And, it's very difficult to get to those. If anybody, I mean, there's several $100,000 of equipment sitting back there in voting machines. And Al Hahn, the facilities director, and I have had conversations. He said if you want additional space, the easiest thing to do is close in the drive down below. The footings are there. All you'd have to do is you'd have to skin the outside of that building and insulate it. The geothermal field that we have here is big enough to heat that additional space. And for me, if at some point we're going to do it, that probably makes the most sense. But it is a valid point.
Absolutely. I think it's really valid. I just have trouble getting there. This was my favorite one. I am in so much agreement with so much of what you guys come forward with here. All I'm going to point out about communication is there's several steps involved in communication, and us spouting it from the mountaintop is only recognized when it's received by the people we're trying to get it to. And there are many, many times, and I'm not suggesting that always, because you have a lot of great suggestions here that I think we need to really look hard at implementing. Many times we will try to get information out. We will try to do things to make the public aware. And Loris is sitting back here. I mean, Loris knows firsthand how hard it is sometimes to make the public aware, even when you make full and every effort. You guys experienced it as you went around the county. Sometimes we missed on our best effort to let people know you were coming. But even the times we hit, it was still hard. And you could still go to that same community the next day and say, they'd say, well, what do you mean they were in town? Nobody communicated that with me. Well, yeah, but we did what we could. I love this one. I think there are a lot of good suggestions. The monthly meeting with elected officials, Steve Holmes sitting right behind you, he does not want to see me on a monthly basis. And vice versa. That's right. So maybe a happy medium somewhere in there. I know we've gone to quarterly, which was, Wayne, what did it used to be?
It's always
been quarterly.
It's been quarterly since I've been here. And we've missed once in a while, but usually it's there. And as it really centers around elections or IT needs or other types of things like that, we have tried to hold those.
Yep. Yeah.
And the makeup of our board meetings, the department heads that report to us directly are on a biweekly rotation. So we do, at a minimum, I know with, for whatever reason, my liaison assignments, I meet with them almost on a daily basis when I'm up here. So, and I know they really appreciate that that contact, and they know that they have somebody that one individual that they can go to from the three of us.
Well, and then we keep each other posted out here. I mean, it's not a perfect system, and one of the things that we really wrestle with in our communication is we walk the line between open meetings laws every single day, and doing that makes it a little tougher to have some of this full-on open communication that we have when we're not even really allowed to communicate with each other about issues that are coming before the board. But I think the point is well taken, and I think some of your suggestions in here are things that I know I wrote down good. Let's and see if we can get these things done. So I don't know how in-depth you want to go through these again, Ted, if you want to. Good. I'll see if I can get us to that.
Just one brief comment. Sure. I know you want to move along, but when it comes to communication, one of the concerns that we did have when the employees came together and talked was that they do have an employee meeting, and it seems that there's not great participation, and there's the overall feeling that their comments really aren't addressed seriously. So in the communication aspect, that should be something that clearly should be focused on so that people feel that their comments are of value and that they do get a response. Maybe not, I mean, obviously, as you said earlier, you're not going to agree on everything, but right. At least to have the consideration back and forth that both sides are listening and both sides are communicating.
Attempts have been made in the last 3 to 4 years to really improve in this particular area. Through having one of the boards sit in on the advisory committee's meeting to get input. And as you say, it's a representative group of the people, and when information have been sent out, they have solicited comments from various groups. What I was surprised to hear is that feeling that some might think there could be some reprisal in sharing their views and so forth. We have always said to even our departments, employees, that if they go to a department head and raise a concern and feel that it has not been well received, all they need to do is contact any one of the supervisors, and they could be assured that it will be heard and addressed, and they won't be the ones that will be put under the bus. But it will be presented in such a way that the department heads are very much aware that these are some concerns that need to be addressed. We've only had, to my knowledge, one or two incidents where that has actually taken place. So I think the perception that is there, it's very difficult if certain people are feeling that they are afraid to do so. I don't know how we ever completely change that. I mean, we can make ourselves available. We could tell them that there won't be any reprisal. We welcome that. There is a fine line, though, that needs to be thought. There's a difference between the employee recommendations and suggestions that is different than the bargaining units. And sometimes the employees seem to think of themselves as a member of a bargaining unit when it comes to looking at the benefits and the various things that are there. The board has historically tried to treat all of our employees as similar as we possibly can, even within the bargaining units. However, there are a few differences that do exist, and just recently the board took action through wellness days and other types of things that were recommendations that were brought forth by the EAC because they said, well, this is something that members of the bargaining unit would receive. Is this something that the board would be willing to take a look at? So I do think that we are in a position today to be cognizant of how we can treat all of our employees the same and fair and equitable, regardless to whether they are bargaining or non-bargaining. But I think that is an area that I think we as a board need to work with our department heads and elected offices as to, is there ways that we can continue to address this issue? Because we all recognize the value of the frontline people in our departments. These are the people that really give the impression as to what people think about how county government operates. And we want to make sure that we do everything, and we want to empower them to feel like they are valued and their suggestions are also valued, and we're willing to take it serious what suggestions they may bring forth to us. So I appreciate that a great deal.
role in economic development, first part of that one. I know I couldn't agree more. I will tell you that that's another one of the areas that we so graciously handed to Leanne. You guys have had Leanne hopping pretty good here for the last couple months, and so we haven't been asking her for much on the CPAP. My expectation is that as we move past your filing of the report and the work of this committee, that we are going to pick up CPAP again immediately and start to move ahead. I don't think the intention of this board was ever to take that report and let it gather dust.
Again,
Sandy, there's not going to be every single thing in that report that we end up agreeing with or acting on, but I believe it's our intention to work our way systematically through that and really try to encourage a true partnership with Story County and our outlying communities. Do you guys have anything to add there?
I just want to go back for a minute for the one-stop permitting and licensing. And we have had these discussions, and it was part of the CPAT recommendation. And I've had some discussions with different department heads. One of the hurdles that we're going to have to get over with that is that so many of the permits are very specific. If you want a building permit or if you want a septic tank permit, there's so many questions that go along with that permit application that it's going to be difficult to train a volunteer to sit at a kiosk in the front of this building and have that information for every different single kind of permit that's required and not have to say, well, I can't answer that question for you. I'm going to send you down to the health department or I'm going to send you to planning and development. That's just one of the hurdles that we're going to have. But we have had the discussions, and it is something that we're going to try to get figured out, but it's going to be very difficult. Well permits, septic permits, there's a lot of different permits if you're going to build a house or make some changes on property.
I mean, lots of chefs in the kitchen.
Absolutely. You got,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you. It's difficult, but we need to face it with a can-do attitude.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. We just have to figure out how we're going to get there from here.
Yep. Next one is the full. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah. Next one is the full-time position. I actually agree with this. I see it a little differently than what you guys are recommending, in that we do have a couple really strong economic development groups in the county. We have one of them in Ames right now that is already contracting with Huxley and Story City to do some of their work. The work here in Nevada has been outstanding. We've got the Story County Economic Development Group that gets together right now on an annual basis. We've asked Mark Jackson, their chair, to consider them getting together a little more regularly. I'm seeing the need for a county position to assist in economic development. I'm not sure that I see it as a county employee. I may see it as a contract position and try to use it as a way to pull together that group. So it's a little different than what you're seeing from my perspective. I have no idea how these two see it. And, again, it's a budget issue that we're going to have to get to at the end. But that's where I come down on a full-time position.
I think we've recognized that in the report. And that's a matter of semantics.
Yep. I believe that department has a role in development in the county. I don't think it was recognized in their initial name. I know that it was one of the first things when the new board, when Paul and I came on together and we had a conversation with Leanne, one of the first things that she asked about is, what do you see our role as? And I know, I think all of us, but I know I hit hard the idea that she needed to be playing a role in this concept of pulling the county together in development. That's where the CPAT report ultimately came from. Leanne pointed out that we had an opportunity to bring that group in. We went after it. But the goal there was simply to recognize that they're not just our planning and zoning department. We truly want them to be our planning and development department. So that's where that came from, Marty.
I see, and I jump off that you guys took. It did no small amount of courage on the TIF side of things. I mean, I see the county active participant in furthering of all our financial and commitments. Where are you at on that process? I mean, I know that you had a conversation with the Gilbert School District in regards to paving roads and everything. I mean, you know, you, the way you rolled it out and presented it to us, and I thank you for inviting all the stakeholders to the meeting and that process. But, you know, on a furtherance basis, where are you at on
Shelley put oof, it gets loud when he
yep. Yep.
Shelley put an item on next week's agenda, where we, I don't think we're going to get to where we actually establish the TIF process, but I've been working with Steve Owen to put together what the TIF process is going to look like to consider additional TIF projects. I mean, just really briefly, we've got to be able to collect requests somehow. We've got to be able to evaluate those requests and what they look like. We've got to do it all in a timely enough fashion that debt can be certified by December 1st by Stacy, so that we can move on with everything. And so putting in the timeline and the matrix of each step is a little complex, but it's on next week's agenda, if that helps you with the timeline at all.
They're really loud with their stuff, so I turn it down, and you're really soft with that mic, so I have to turn it back on. I'm sorry.
No, thank you for the update. I knew that was an ongoing process. That's how you presented it to us, and I'm glad to hear that there is a further attempt at getting something else going.
Okay. Carry on, Rick.
If there's nothing else on that, it takes us to assistance to other jurisdictions. My only note in the margin here as I went through it is, you can lead a horse to water, and that doesn't necessarily address your can-do attitude. I'm with you, Ted. It is something I'll tell you.
You've got to be with the committee, not just with me.
Yeah, all of you. Absolutely. You're the spokesman. So I come back to you. It was something that I think this board, not to suggest that other boards didn't recognize it, but this board took as one of our points of emphasis, really reaching out to the other communities, and that's why we split the communities between us, and each one of us are a liaison to selected cities and trying to reach out to them and really trying hard to recognize that there are so many areas in Story County that the Board of Supervisors are not the ultimate decision maker, but we have a unique opportunity to pull people together and pull groups together, unlike what anybody else has to do, and trying to utilize that ability more. I think that's something we're really trying.
I was at the Colville City Council meeting last Monday and talked about the CPAT report and that's what they're looking for. Colville paved the street and put in an industrial park here several years ago, and there's nothing out there now other than a paved street and some weeds, but they're looking for the help, and I think what the CPAT report and what you've recommended is that individual, whether they're on a county payroll or whether on a contract with Ames, is they need somebody, because they meet once a month, and like everybody else, they serve part time, and they don't have the expertise or the wherewithal to try to attract businesses, and that's desperately what they're looking for, the assistance.
I think
for.
It became very evident to the committee, especially when we had a meeting up at Zering. I think you were there. You came to that meeting, Paul. But there's a corner of the county, and Sandy and I serve on conservation. With your help, we're looking at Dakins and putting a new lake in there to kind of help that community. But it's not only the economic development when you look at these other jurisdictions. It's things that they have to provide, that there's so many rules coming down from above the state and federal. Another place I think that could be helpful, for example, with these smaller communities is like the Secondary Roads Department, helping them kind of engineer or solve traffic issues or structural issues with streets, etc. And I think that's some of the new rules that county government's going to have to be participating in.
Well, I'd go a step further. I'd say I think Margaret is gone, but Board of Health and some of the issues that I know up in Zering, they've got some issues up there that they would like help with Board of Health. We don't have a mechanism to do that right now, but it's something, again, it's something that starts with the city, but that doesn't mean that we can't help them through the process. And so I'm with you and the committee there, Ted. So, okay. That takes us to, unless we got more there, that takes
and
us to.
And based on that report, and I will be sharing with the supervisors at the National Association of Counties, we received some information about Westchester County shared services and a lot of ideas that they're doing that may be something that we could institute here in Story County with the cooperation of our municipalities. So I do think that the opportunities are there, and it's just going to be trying to create a format that would allow us to have that type of discussion with the others and with whether it's IT related, secondary roads. There's a lot of different areas that I think if people are willing to reach out and do that, it helps. But going back even to the township trustees and their communication, you know, right now if they get on the phone and they have questions, they call Lisa Markley or the auditor's office and they get the information. I mean, there is, the opportunity is really there. It's just a question.
They've all got a red phone, don't they?
Yeah, it's just a question.
Hello,
when it's used. So we've tried to make make every effort to do a better job with that, but good. Carry on.
Yep, combined assessor. I will start my statement by saying I really like Wayne and Greg, our two assessors in Story County. My statement has nothing to do with them or the job they do or the job their staff does. There is no way I could agree more than I do with this recommendation. As I do the math and I look at what we spend with our two assessors, I believe that easily there's $500,000 they're spending. It's not general fund dollars. It's not dollars that the Board of Supervisors controls or sets. But I believe for the people of Story County, there's $500,000 there that is a redundant expense. And I will tell you that I have had informal conversations with several, and this is going back 18 months, with several members of the Ames City Council, and it is my intention to bring to my two friends and colleagues here utilizing this report as a way to start to officially ask that we have that conversation with Ames, and I know Steve Holmes would like to weigh in. Just talk. You're on. Into the microphone so we get you on tape. You might say something interesting.
Did you take mine? Well, before you get on your horse and ride off into the sunset here, let me just make a comment about the budgets from both respective assessors' offices and how they're funded. And I want to make a cautionary note. Right now, presently, today, there are 21 commercial tax appeals that the city attorney is handling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's just commercial. It's not industrial. It's not residential. Now, those are 21 appeals before the PAB board, the Property Assessment Appeal Board. Now, they can also have appeals in front of the district court. But the amount of time that the city attorney's office has to take and the amount of personnel that it's going to require, you better be careful what you wish for, because you're going to be hiring another attorney for me or more. The budgets from those assessors' offices only go to support the assessors. There's no money that comes to my office. You understand that?
Didn't we put additional money in the Ames assessor budget
right.
for just that?
Right. They do that each year when we meet.
We had to amend dollars in.
Dollars.
That money's getting paid somewhere.
No, dollars. No dollars go to the city attorney's office. No dollars come to my office. Those
we amended in money to the city assessor's budget for that reason, for the appeals.
For the appeal process.
Handle the appeals.
For outside attorneys.
Outside attorneys.
They have paid outside counsel.
So okay. It's not going to the city of Ames attorney. Okay.
Okay, good.
Lisa knows so much about this because Story County is actually the fiscal agent for the...
Well, Doug and I got together last week for lunch, and we were talking about some of these matters, and this came up, so... I just want you to know that it takes a great deal of time. I can't tell you how many particular property tax appeals are ongoing for the county, but historically that's not very many, and usually they're residential. But if you get into this area where you're getting into complicated commercial properties that take a great amount of time and effort to examine and then go down and make those cases, those take days and days and days each. So that's, you add that up, you add up 21 cases alone. If it took 4 or 5 days each, that's 100.
Steve, what we're primarily looking at is the administration of the two assessors' offices and the purchasing of equipment and the duplications and the cost savings that if we were all on the same system as to how this would be. Polk County, our largest county, you know, in the state, has only one assessor.
I'm not saying,
you know,
I'm
and
not
so we're not
no,
talking about.
I'm just telling you,
yeah,
gonna,
right.
Where the legal work is going to go.
Oh yes, we understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would just point out, as Ted pointed out, as he was giving us the report initially, this doesn't rest with us. This starts with the city of Ames, and we can ask for the conversation, but at the end of the day, the city of Ames is going to determine whether this recommendation moves ahead or not.
Okay.
So I was just speaking for me and what I see, and I hope that this will be a jumping off point to start to publicly have the conversation.
Correct. Thank you. Soil water districts. Anything?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we've got to do. I mean, other than sit down and support, we could have Irv come in and see us and see what it is. I'm not clear exactly what would have to happen.
You ought to hear that presentation.
Yeah, we will.
And we urge you to support it.
Okay. We will ask to have that presentation.
That really reduces the number, plus it talks about the watershed instead of just a...
Right.
I've kind of grown really fond of being a drainage trustee.
It's the part of this job that they don't tell you anything about when you're
coming
in.
I don't know about you guys.
You love to assess people.
Let me interject one more thing just in fun about drainage districts. The drainage district section of the Iowa Code is the largest section of the Iowa Code.
Probably one of the oldest.
It clearly is. Anything to deal with water historically, water rights, problems involving water, it's always a huge issue.
The most contentious meeting we've had in the last 18 months was an evening meeting about a drainage district where this room was standing room only, and people really worked out over drainage districts.
Well, the overall consensus is they need to change the way that they make their assessments. And Dave Dio tried to do that this year.
He tried to introduce a bill, and they couldn't get
it out
of
committee. Couldn't even get the support of the Iowa Drainage District Association.
Right.
I mean, he was shot down before he ever opened the gate.
Like you love to be on the...
Oh, yeah, we love it. That's why we've given five districts back to cities, much to their chagrin.
Okay, move on.
It's Wayne's bedtime. We got to finish this thing up. Transportation safety. I love the idea of getting to a longer term plan like CPAT. It is the 5-year plan is really difficult right now. It is Nancy Miller is the expert on that. It is hard to put together the 5-year plan and figure out how we're actually going to fund that and the way that thing changes and goes. But I completely agree with the idea of trying to look out longer, understanding that things are going to change as we get through it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have to certify, is that correct, Lisa, a budget? The engineer has to have a budget certified around June, something with the DOT in terms of transportation. And so I think they've gotten used to that 5-year, but yet they plan out a 15, 20-year, you know, plan, which is subject to be amended and changed. So I think the concept is certainly some things that we can begin to kind of look at, but I think the way the dollars flow and through the legislature and all of these types of things, they have basically thought that the 5-year option gives them better flexibility, but it doesn't mean that we cannot have a much more long-range vision of how to do it. I think any type of strategic plan, I think, is a good way of doing it, things. And whether it happens the rest of this year or in the future, whether I'm here or someone else, one other thought that comes to mind that this board probably may need to talk about is, if within our existing structure, how can we actually have some of these conversations? Can we take one of those meetings on a different day, a Wednesday or a Thursday, for an hour and a half, and make it a workshop where we either hear a report or the board can actually have discussions and deliberations about some of the things that we see as necessary directions that we want to move in. Currently, right now, with just the one meeting a week option, with 3 hours we've got now, it doesn't really give us enough time to really talk about some of these more strategic plans that we'd like to do in the immediate time. They have to be stretched out over 2, 30, 60, 90 days. And so that may be something that we could build in as we begin to plan a little bit further, is by meeting for our informal workshops to address specific types of things.
And that brings us to the conclusion of my comments on the recommendations that they made here. As I read the agenda, Mr. Chair, it looks like you've got public comments next on here.
Right. I've got several others in here, but I think they've been covered in one way or the other, so I'm not going to belabor bringing those up at this time. But I think for the sake of the audience and so forth, Paul, let me first ask, are there anything else that you'd like to mention at this point?
No, I'm just going to repeat what we said, our gratitude to the committee and their hard work and the hours and the time and the thought they put into the report.
Great. Okay. Then at this time, I would like to give the public an opportunity. If there are any comments from the public, you can either come up to the mic there, or we have these mics up here made available. Okay. And there's a hand mic that Lisa has there. So feel free. Nancy, please come forth. Introduce yourself and go. Oh, yes, Nancy. Because I know you attended a lot of these meetings,
yes,
and we appreciate that.
Yes, I did. Nancy Miller, Nevada. Yes, I did attend a lot of these meetings, a number of them. I'm not going to say a lot. One of them I attended was the Nevada one, and then I attended a number of the committee meetings. Okay. One of the things that was brought up at the Nevada meeting by Mayor Gull, he says, because I stated, you know, I think we got three supervisors right now that are really working well together. They're getting a lot of things done. They're pulling things that were put on the table. They're bringing them back up, smacking them there, and saying, let's deal with them, let's take care of it, and so on. And Jerry Gull's comment was, okay, we've got three right now. They'll work well together. What about the future? What about the future? And that's what we really have to look at, you know. In terms of the five, one of the things that you talked about was communication. Okay, and in that you guys, because of the transparency in the open meeting laws, you guys can't even talk among yourselves without violating those rules. Okay, and I know you have a really, really hard time. But think about this. If there was five of you, then you could literally... two of you could talk about something without violating the open meeting laws. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Also, in the 3 to 5, one of the things that was brought up in one of the committee meetings was that, you know, you guys have a lot of liaison meetings. You guys go to a whole lot of meetings that are not between, that lots of them are evening and so on and so forth. You got a lot on your plates, guys. And what was said was, you know, if you had five supervisors, then you could spread it around more. Right, which would certainly free up some of your time, right? And a couple of more comments that I wanted to make is regarding these questionnaires. You know what? I didn't even know they existed until I read this whole report. I just printed out the recommendations portion. I didn't know they existed. Where were they advertised? Where was the notifications that, hey, listen, we want the public to fill out these questionnaires? 85 responses is a pittance. That is certainly not representative of Story County. Okay? I didn't know about it. And you know I'm pretty involved. Okay? Also, as I read the results of the questionnaires, those surveyed did comment regarding the value of change. The value of change. Not specific change, but in other words, you know, if we don't change, if we don't keep moving forward, the reality is you eventually go backwards. You cannot stay the same. If you don't move forward, then you're going backwards. Okay? In regard to some things that I think it was Steve McGill said, in going to the departmental meetings and so on, it is human nature to have a comfort level with status quo. That's human nature. Too many people, and I'll phrase it that way, too many people are scared to death of change. They're scared to death of it. I mean, look at the evolution of computers and so on and so forth. Everybody was worried that they were, you know, if they touched the wrong button, it was going to break. Well, when I was out in the business world, I said, you know, there's only two things you can do with them. Drop them on the floor or spill coffee on them or Coke on them.
But this is representative of change. Yes, we are getting Story County's website has just been reviewed. I got some problems with it, with being able to find information on it, which I have communicated. Okay? But at the same time, we are working toward utilizing 21st century tools. And that's what they are. They're tools. They're not to be chastised. They're not to be saying, oh, golly gee, that's not the way it used to be. You know, just like Ted said, it used to be horse and buggies. It's not anymore. It's just not anymore. I recently learned, in fact, it was Tuesday after the supervisors' meeting, talking to LaVon Schultz.
That wasn't a Freudian slip, was it?
Nope. Erase that. Cassuth County, which is, that's where I'm going to smack you, too.
Sorry. I'm getting punched.
That went right over my head. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, goody, goody. Okay, anyway, LaVon told me, Algona's in Cassuth County, am I right, guys?
Yes.
Okay, and that's where she came from. Cassuth County, which is a smaller population, significantly smaller population than Story County, has had five supervisors for years and years and years, and it works great. Okay, I didn't know that, but LaVon made you aware of that. Certainly, Linn County has, publicized, vocalized the concerns that they've had going to five. All right, my view on that is, okay, they made mistakes, they corrected them. We can learn from that if indeed we decided to go to five supervisors. Right? We don't have to repeat the same mistakes. I mean, that's the adult, intelligent thing to do. Okay? You said change as see fit. Change as see fit. And I understand that change as see fit has to do with everybody within Story County. From this line to this line to this line to this line. Change as see fit. I think that we have not, and I know you guys tried your darndest to get input from everybody within Story County. I understand that. I don't think we've achieved it yet.
No, we haven't. I agree.
I think that there needs to be other mechanisms, other means to be able to draw these people in. I made the comment when I came in here, whoa, I expected this room to be packed tonight. I really, really did. I personally talked to several people and said, hey, you know, you really ought to come. Because these things affect all of Story County. Now, going to the appointed versus elected issue. My experience has been appointed equals accountability. Now, you can say, well, they're elected, they're accountable to their electorates. My point on this is, elected, most or many people do not research the candidates. They go into the polling booth, and unfortunately, Iowa has this straight ticket voting option. They go in there and flip a switch. They do not, many of them, don't even look through the entire ballot, let alone know who that person is, what they stand for, how they will represent that particular office and the people that they are going to be elected to represent. So I think that, you know, that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind also, that if they are appointed, quite frankly, their behinds are on the mark. They've got to be held accountable. It's the same way that, I'm sorry, but I chuckled when you started talking about employee evaluations, that we're working on it, and how long have I heard that? It's not being done regularly and routinely, and the employees will admit it. It's not.
We've got a system that's coming in. We've just done an evaluation of all employee compensation. Actually, I just saw that we got the initial report back today from a group called Springstead that we've contracted with, and part of our contract with them put together a mechanism for ongoing employee evaluations. You're 100% right. It's not something that has been traditionally done here at Story County, but it's something we are looking at going to, and
that's
we have contracted
and
with
And so you have a time frame then on this one, right?
when Spring State gets us the report. Yeah.
And that, what, when is that deadline to them? You see,
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, they run into some delays. Yeah, I mean, it is, supposed to be.
You guys know that one of the things that irritates me to no end is the lack of deadlines, whether it's commit. Now, these guys had a deadline. They came in ahead of schedule. But not having deadlines for whatever it is that you guys are requesting is wrong.
When it's our fault that it's a late report, and the reason it's our fault is medical related, I have a little more flexibility than that.
Right.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that. Yeah. But to start out with an initial deadline. Now, if it needs to have a little extension based upon a medical issue or something else, that's a different issue. But to simply say, "Hey, listen, I want you to do this," period, with no deadlines, no time frames, no structure within that, is wrong. And I don't care whether you're talking about evaluations or anything. One of the comments that I have made regarding the evaluations is, if you don't have measurable performance standards for each of the functions within the county, then how are you going to be able to do an effective evaluation? If you don't have measurable performance standards for the functions, and believe me, they can be done.
That's part of the contract. Part of the contract is that
measurable performance standards.
Going to put together the first step of that, Nancy, was getting all of our job classifications categorized in the different pay grades and making sure that we were paying appropriately and get that done, get that part of the report done, and then come back with building the performance evaluation and the matrix that go together with doing that. And then it becomes our responsibility through our HR department to make sure that they're being done on an ongoing basis.
I will just tell you, make one little statement, then I'm going to leave you, is that a measurable performance standard does not mean that you've always came in on time.
No.
Okay? Too many times I've seen that over and over again. Right? I think that this committee that you put together, that has been put together, has been diligent and have gone over and above, right? And I've commented at a lot of the meetings. You all know that. And none of you told me to shut up. Maybe wanted to, but they didn't.
Not publicly.
Not publicly. But there have been some differing opinions and comments. And some of the things opened my mind, too. Just as I'm sure that this report has for you three.
Absolutely.
And for the takeaway from all of this is absolutely keep your mind open regarding absolutely everything that they reported on. Okay? I looked at the list of behind the recommendations, and it's got a timeline of things that they see. I don't necessarily agree with the timeline either. Okay? But it has a list of things, you know, to help you folks structure what you're going to do with this report that they have spent so many months putting together. Okie doke. That's it.
Perfect. Nancy, I'd just like to clarify one thing, and you know that philosophically I agree with everything you said about the rationale behind five supervisors, but just so you're clear as we walk out of here, where I'm coming out on this report is, The committee is not asking us to go to five supervisors. They're asking for the Citizens Story County to put together the charter commission.
I agree. I understand that.
Okay.
But what ties into that is, I don't think that we've gotten all the people of Story or enough of the people of Story County involved in this whole discussion.
Yeah. I see that as two ways to read that.
Right.
One is that we didn't communicate that they could do it. The other way I see it is, you know what? I was wrong with how hot a button issue that I thought this was. I thought it was a big, big deal.
And you
clearly, I mean, you look at this room even. It clearly, there is not enough impetus. I mean, you look at the survey results, even the ones we got, right? 83 people answered the question of should we be three or five, and 49 of those 83 said, no, you should leave it just like it is. So even among the very limited
small
number
sampling
of people, that absolutely, but you got a pretty clear reading on that small sample.
I really wasn't surprised at the number of surveys that we got back. I think we did probably as good a job as we could do, short of paying for airtime on TV. We don't have we don't have a public access channel. It's difficult for us to get the word out. It was in the newspapers. Laura's covered it. The Tribune covered it. There are several articles on it. If people read the paper or look at their website, they knew that this committee was undertaking their
charge. Well, I must have been under a rock because I didn't see it.
And I came to the realization when I ran in 2010, people really don't give a crap about county government unless it's an election year and they want to tell you what you're doing wrong.
If it's something in my own backyard.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Right. There's a lot that goes on here, but people, as long as their road gets plowed and they can get their license plate and their boat license, they're pretty happy.
Yeah, I think one of the questions on the questionnaire should have been, in the last 6 months, how many Board of Supervisors meetings have you attended?
There was a question somewhere, like how many times have you been in a county building?
Right.
It seems like there was a question, not Board of Supervisors.
Well, Nancy, one thing to be aware of, there is discussion amongst counties, 3 versus 5. Wright County has a ballot initiative right now to go from 5 to 3. I serve as vice president of the supervised affiliate right now, and this discussion is going on in a lot of counties in terms of what is the best representation in county government, whether it should be a 3-person board, 5-person board, part-time versus full-time. None of these is going to change drastically. It's going to be a slow process, but county by county, we'll evaluate, their particular situation, and it is citizen-driven right now. These are things that is driven by the citizens. So it will be interesting in the next 3 to 5 years to see if that paradigm shifts or is it pretty much stays the way it is. As you say, people get comfortable with what they know. It's when you're proposing making some changes and a lot of the uncertainty, there are a lot of people that are not necessarily willing to jump off into that realm unless they perceive some real problems.
Yeah, it's like don't mess with my
Right.
The comments from the questionnaires, one of them said something about that. I just had to laugh with this one. The supervisor should not be able to give themselves a raise. I know that's not the way it works.
Oh, that's right.
I know there's a compensation board, a committee. I know that. But see, I think that part of I like the idea in the communication regarding putting something in the paper, maybe a column, but something that says what's happening in Story County. And I like the idea of you guys alternating, getting on one of these radio shows that's local and talking.
You really think that Wayne has ever turned down an opportunity on the radio?
You know what? Neither you, Rick.
Or me. That's true.
I think Paul could be convinced.
That's why we've asked him to be the PIO for the board, and Rick does a great job as well. I believe I saw a couple more hands back there. Okay, come right up. Good. Speak loud.
Jim Lohr from Ames. Am I on mic?
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah.
3 or 4 things very quickly. I wondered if you had considered in your 5 districts kind of a radiating from Ames, because a 3-2 with 3 of them in Ames means that Ames would always be in the majority. If you could take some GSI point from Ames, radiate them out through the county, and I'll pass this up to you when we finish, that might be a possibility. I don't know whether the board had considered that. Secondly, I wondered in terms of use of computers, since this is a new age, a couple of things that you mentioned I thought might have some possibilities. One, have you considered cloud storage for county records? Okay, cloud storage for space. And when you're looking at your one-stop target shopping, your computerized forms, to what extent has the internet been checked for forms that are used by other counties or a purveyor for working on a computerized form for doing those, whatever it is, permits you want to do, et cetera. And one more in that regard, have you considered a searchable database of your county regulations for everybody to look at that maybe make things simpler for them? The state just approved that in the legislature. And if I may do a little bit, when the when the governor's board came around, I was the one who suggested that to them last November. They've been working on some departments, so there'll be a unified searchable database that's coming out from them. A couple of other things. I've been in the Chamber of Commerce for 20 years and worked with the Government Affairs Committee, and some of you know that we worked, and we now have you folks coming to the Board of Supervisors, coming for PR purposes and questions to the Chamber of Commerce. And we appreciate that very much. It's taken a long time to get that set up, but we did get it set up. One final question, and I don't know to what extent you look in terms of state regulation, in terms of number of counties reduction, which may well happen in the future. For example, a couple of years ago, the state of Kansas did a study and found that in Kansas they could limit their number of counties from, I believe it was almost 100 to about 10, at a savings of $700 million. In the state of Nebraska, 60% of the population lives in six counties in the eastern part of the state. Now, Iowa is much more diverse than that, but what about, for example, 12 major counties? Having nine counties in each one of them now would still be not much worse than riding your horse across the county to get there, because the more and more computerization that we do, the fewer and fewer folks that are going to have to come in to your office. That's all I want to put in.
It's like trying to get that drainage district question by Dave Dio to the legislature. That's the same issue we'll be in trying to talk about consolidation of counties. A few people have mentioned this at the legislature, but it's not going anywhere. And you're probably aware of even the challenges school districts have had, when it comes to consolidation. This is there's obviously some cost savings and things there, but people are very territorial, and even the legislators that represent these folks don't want to tackle that. But who knows what the future may hold? The economics may drive that issue in the next several years. So I would say there is a distinct possibility we may see some of that happen sooner than later. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wayne, more really, Jim, with the districts, we did ask the county auditor to come with the map that's included with the report. One thing that, as I said, the inherent problem, as much as eastern Nebraska, that Ames has two-thirds roughly of the population, and those districts can't vary more than 5%. So this was essentially, they do radiate from Ames, but you have that concentration in Ames of three, but the other two come toward Ames.
And the other part of that is, as I understand, it's hard to split the different precincts in Ames with the way the state code is written. The other thing I'll say to that, Jim, is I believe there's an opportunity. As I understand what we're doing here tonight is we're putting it back on the citizens of Story County and saying, here's the recommendation. Now, citizens, either you go get, and I'm going to use 10,000 signatures, Ted, because you said you think it's 2014 realistic before we get there, and if that's true, it would take 10,000 signatures to drive this. But then, Jim, there's an opportunity to look at if you were to go to five supervisors, you could do four by district and one at large. You could do three by district and two at large. That
whoa! No, you can't.
You sure can. Absolutely, you can. All right, I'll read it to you. Yeah, alternative forms under the board manager system. You can still go to the board, because all it says about board manager is the board will appoint the manager. You can go to anything.
From just three to five and not change the charter form. They have to either be all district or all at large.
Absolutely true, but you're talking about changing the charter form, and what I'm telling you is if you're going down that road, the sky's the limit. You've got all kinds of options. That's where I ask, why didn't you think, how about seven or nine members of the board are a possibility? How about, five by district and four at large, and you have a nine-member board with a manager? All I'm saying is, since we're throwing it to the citizens of Story County, we might as well tell them the sky's the limit if you want to go for this thing.
Boy, I'm going to have a job forever.
I'm always thinking of you. So anyway, I just wanted to address that point, and then We're moving toward cloud in some areas. Right now we're in the process, Jim, of hiring an IT manager, director of the IT department. Once we get that done, I'm sure this conversation will be more in depth. One stop, again, it's just a lot of chefs in the kitchen trying to fit, even with online, there's a lot of different hands in there trying to figure out how it works. Getting our regulation online, that is a continuing conversation. We have one of Steve Holmes' fine deputies is been working through that. I'm sure you've been in on trying to work on it, but that is something we want to get to, a searchable, readily available online mechanism for all our county regulations. And reduce counties, I'm right there with you. Good luck. yeah.
Okay. Other comment? Good. Jim?
Jim Cheek from Nevada. I'm an employee of Story County, so you can consider my biases as they may be. Change for the sake of change to me just doesn't make sense. Just because something works in Kossuth County or whatever county doesn't mean we necessarily have to do it here. In 1968, I think we did a similar study to this because we were afraid our government would not evolve with the changing times. The same thing we hear today, 44 years later. To me, the government has worked. And to me, the most ringing endorsement is the same phrase that was used against our government, which is, it's a 19th century government in a 21st century world. When I hear that, I say the government stood the test of time and it still works. It evolves and it has worked. It worked then and it works now. I don't see that we have to change just because society's changing. Government has always changed with it. It's survived that long. Why do we want to go to something different now? Because we think we're evolving just like we thought in 1968, and 44 years later it still works. And as far as reducing counties, I will say, from my personal experience in 11 years in the county, yes, we're not in the horse and buggy age anymore, but if you tell a person from Ames they need to come over to the office, actually you ask them if they live close, they'll say, no, I live in Ames. I can't make it.
Right. That's true.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
It's amazing that it's 8 miles, whichever way you're coming from, it's 8 miles.
It's only 8 miles if you're coming from. But, as far as the horse and buggy, people still don't want to go further than 8 miles.
Good. Anyone else? Jim, thank you.
Oh, we go. Yep.
One more. Okay, Leonard.
Coming right behind you.
Coming right behind you. Yeah.
Yeah?
Just speak right into it. State your name.
Some of you know me and some of you don't. I'm Leonard Anderson from Story City. What I would like to say something about is economic development. I'm not a Sandy Upsweet or a Wayne Clinton when it comes to using words, but I will just tell the way I see it. We have got a bunch of roadblocks on this job creation. The first one is the economic development of the state of Iowa. The next one is Terry Branstad, the governor of Iowa. Grassley, U.S. Senator. Harkin, U.S. Senator. Latham, congressman. King. They are standing in the way. And I've got letters at home to back this up if some of you want to see them. And it don't bother me to show them to the people. I'll let you see what our elected representatives in Washington have got to say on economic development. Right now, they won't say nothing. In fact, I was told by the governor's office, don't bother us anymore. What are you going to do? We can create jobs in nearly every community in Story County. They will not let us.
Thank you, Leonard. Okay. Anyone else? Last chance.
Wayne,
yes.
One question.
Sure. Yes, that's correct.
Hey, step up here, Marty, so we can get this.
I guess listening to everybody speak, I'll start over again. I believe that you've, in your time on the board, had effective leadership and good stewardship, and we've been well served to have you. And I look forward to your, standing for election. My question in going through this year's process and listening to the people tonight and doing this, if your position, knowing what you know, the workload it involves, the obligations it entail, if it were for less money and classified as a part-time position, would you pursue it, knowing all those things?
That is a good question, and I could answer that in a lot of ways. Based on what I know right now and what this job entails and what I have put into it in my 12 years, I believe that the full-time Board of Supervisors format that we have right now provides the most effective and cost-effective way of delivering quality service with the help of other elected offices and departments in Story County. I would hate to see that change. However, I have always been one who believes that it is the will of the people that I'm here serving. And if it was determined that there would be a makeup or change in the form of government, then I would have to decide whether or not I would want to be a part of that new change or decide to just go ahead and retire and do something else. I don't know that right now. Right now, the system that we currently have is one I think has proven results and has been very effective. And I'm very proud to be an elected official in Story County, but I could tell you that I'm not afraid of change. And I think a lot depends on who the people are sitting in these seats, whether it's me or someone else in the future. You're only as good as the people that are sitting in these seats and their ability to deliver the service. And I will always put service above self as my most important objective, because I could choose to do something else.
Well, I see that, and I appreciate the honesty and clarity you provide, and I just kind of just a thought came to me, and I just appreciate your insight.
Great. Good. Okay, Stephen Holmes.
Well, I appreciate everyone's work on the commission. I noticed an Ames Tribune newspaper article last Friday, and this was on the cover page. And one of the things I wanted to say is, as part of that article, it said that my office, my position, can be combined. There is no provision in the Iowa Code to do so. And I think those of you who I've had the chance to speak with know that. That inaccuracy in and of itself is one of my concerns because of the headline that it got. And my concern to the general population in terms of the work of this committee is that I sense a sentiment that somehow elected offices are not as valuable any longer. And that bothers me deeply. I think that the inherent tensions that are built into elective offices is not well understood anymore, and whether that's a fault of ourselves, that we don't devote enough time to teach those things to every successive generation might be a reason. But for the audience here, it's important to understand that as supervisors, you're not my boss, and I'm not your boss. We all are on equal footings. The wisdom behind making a structure like that is considerable. I have to come to you for my budget. And yet, once you give me a budget, it's my authority to use it. I'm answerable to the people and the people alone, really. And when you think about it, and when you think about our political system as a whole, it's based on that. And I am very concerned that it's not viewed any longer as being functionable. Some of the members of the committee here that formulated the opinion come from specific backgrounds in business or in a municipality. A municipality is much different than a county. The goals and objectives of a municipality are similar to a business. It has more of a consistent objective. The inherent tensions that Steve spoke of a little bit ago that he may have sensed in some of the conversations with some of the offices, that's okay. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that. That is sort of a healthy competition for those in the audience who like to talk about competition. I have to come again to you as a part of the system and explain to you why I need so much money to do the job that I'm required to do by the code. and so do all the other elected officials. And again, in my opinion, there is great wisdom in that, and I would be very hesitant indeed, to attempt to change that without good cause. There are situations that have changed. We all know the examples in Polk County where there have been two attempts to change the form of government in Polk County to a city-county form of government because of the fact that that municipality has essentially grown coterminous with the size of the county. And certainly, I think, and I appreciate all of the comments here about the willingness to change, and Ted reiterated that, to keep an open mind. But, again, as noted by Mr. Sanders and Mr. Toot and Mr. Clinton, those kinds of concerns have not manifested themselves here in either the survey that was conducted or in the comments or in any of the evidence. And because I'm a fact-driven person in looking at the evidence, examining the weight of the evidence that you have before you, in terms of the number of people who took the time to care, or in terms of the answers that were given by the very few people who did answer, you have no evidence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we consider that a closing statement?
I have one other thing that I've been asked to read into the record, and I believe that I should do that. And unfortunately, Mr. Carreri is not here, but I have been asked by Sue Vandekamp to read this into the record. And the question is would you be pursuing the elimination of elected officials as enthusiastically if your daughter-in-law had won the election 2 years ago? So I do want to have that added to the record that Sue Vandekamp asked if I would certainly bring that to the attention. And with that...
Well, yeah, and with bringing Paul's wrath down on me, I would like to say thank you to you guys one more time. You guys did a great job, and I would make a motion that, with our thanks, we receive the report and we disband this committee.
Gee, I had a 45-minute closing statement.
You got a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. Robert's rule says we must act. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? The motion basically is to disband the committee. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Move adjournment.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, everyone, for everything.
Put out the cat.
Put out the cat.